Another episode of Daft on Draft, and we have a good one for you guys today. We have a Daft or Draft. We're going to get into some rookie contract talk. We are going to get into some quarterback specific draft talk, and then we are going to talk a little bit about the national championship. But I am not doing that alone. I have my co-host Corey Kinnon here with me. Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Ready to get after it. As always, a nice little Tuesday. I'm feeling good. Feeling energized. Right. Daft or Draft is always a good episode too. So
it is. You know, I was just looking up for a second, and I saw the pancake book, and I remembered that tomorrow is my off day, and I'm going to be making myself. If you guys like cinnamon, I'm a huge cinnamon junkie. Go out and get yourself the cinnamon chips. Cinnamon chips, like chocolate chips, but cinnamon from Hershey. They are delicious. I'm going to make some pancakes tomorrow. It's my off day from the gym. I'm going to make some pancakes in the morning with, it's obviously like cottage cheese pancakes because I'm a psycho. And I have to eat as healthy as possible. But the cinnamon chips make a world of difference. I had them for the first time on Christmas. My cousin bought them, put them in some real pancakes, and they were absolutely delicious. So go out and get that for your breakfast needs. But Corey, let's get into Daft or Draft. And let's start with the banger. Let's start with the quarterbacks.
Let's do it.
What is it, Corey, that we want to talk about?
Yeah, so this is obviously a good topic for this class in particular because there are so many quarterback needy teams in a bad quarterback class, especially sitting at the top with the Titans, the Browns, the Jets, the Raiders, all picking in the top 10. All really need a quarterback, assuming the Jets are parting ways with Aaron Rodgers, which is likely to happen. But it's a pretty bad quarterback class. Not 2022 bad, but probably like 2014 bad, you know, in terms of talent. But we might get some desperate teams. So the Daft or Draft here is, it is a failure on the part of the general manager of a quarterback needy team to not take a shot on a quarterback if they have the resource to do so, if they have the asset to do.
Daft, 100%. If you don't like the quarterbacks in the class, you don't just throw an asset there, especially when you were drafting at the top of the class. And listen, any prospect can be a bust or a hit. Mm-hmm. That's just the way that this works. But when you were drafting at the very top in the top 10 specifically, you're going to have a higher bust rate at quarterback than most any other position. If you are then also taking a quarterback who probably isn't worth that top 10 pick, you're adding to the risk of them being a bust. I mean, we see guys that go second overall be busts and be clear busts immediately with Zach Wilson. Trey Lance has barely even gotten snaps at the NFL level. So I really truly believe, and especially with the longevity of quarterbacks these days, there are a lot of veterans out there who can bridge to your guy the next season. Mm-hmm. And listen, are you going to win a bunch of games? No, but you're already picking in the top 10. So you're already not winning football games. What is the point in putting a quarterback? And this is another thing that we consistently see. We see quarterbacks go to good situations and thrive. We saw it with Mr. Irrelevant, who might get $60 million freaking dollars for being an average quarterback. Brock Purdy is fantastic for that team. He's not particularly talented in the realm of NFL quarterbacks. He is the fourth best in his own division from a talent perspective, depending on how you look at Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. But I just think if you don't have your guy and you don't like any of them, why force it? It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm dafting this as well. And And again, I cover the Browns and I spend a lot of time discoursing with people on Browns Twitter. And it's a huge thing right now. It's like everybody is saying like this team, especially because of the Watson contract, right? Like that's the main talking point anytime you talk about quarterbacks in Cleveland. Well, they have to have a rookie contract to supplement the amount of money they're already paying at the quarterback position, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, how much time is the general manager really buying themselves if they take a quarterback just to take one that they don't believe in? A year.
1 year.
1 year? Like, I mean, think about it. I mean, the Titans, not that GM's going to, I mean, this is his first year, but like, think about, I mean, the Raiders and the Jets have a, so Andrew Berry's the only, the Browns GM's the only GM in the situation to use. If Andrew Berry drafts Cam Ward and the Browns win 4 games again, is Andrew Berry keeping his job? Even this year, did he even buy himself an extra year? Versus either trading back and getting 2 extra third first round picks, 1 extra first round pick.
The problem
with, or drafting a blue chip player.
Yeah. The problem with trading back is you need a trading partner. And who's coming up for?
I think the Raiders of the Giants might come up 1 or come up 4 spots.
Yeah.
One of those two teams leaning. But if that's another thing.
You absolutely do it. And with so many QB needy teams, you could see that. But I do still wonder, like, if these teams are just going to play chicken because these quarterback prospects aren't very good.
I think that's where we're going to sit at. I think the Browns are going to try like hell to sell. I don't know if they're going to find a partner. Because you're right, the Raiders might say, well, these guys aren't going to make it. They're going to make it to 6 anyway. They make it past 2. If one of them makes it past 2, the draft order, like, there's not another quarterback. I guess the Giants. So that's the other thing, though, is that there's 3 quarterback new teams in a row. So that's where I feel like the Jets or the Raiders might feel a little desperate to get in. Because Dable's shown – that's another thing. Dable's shown, like, they're going to – I feel like they're feeling desperate to pick a quarterback. That's another combo to use, like – but if Sean misses on Cam Ward and Cam Ward bottoms out as a rookie, like they're gone.
My other thing is Sam Darnold, Russell Wilson, Daniel Jones, not as much, but Jameis Winston, Justin Fields, even Jacoby Brissett, Andy Dalton has, you know, played well at times for the Panthers. There are guys out there that can step in and be a bridge next year. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Sam Darnold might hit the market after the way he finished the season like this year. Like that could still
happen. Well, and Kevin O'Connell's comments were kind of like, I loved my time with Sam Darnold. Yeah. Like it seemed like it's probably at the end.
Which that was the report coming into the season, is that they were like, we know this, we're gonna mm-hmm. do right by Sam no matter what. We're not gonna tag him. We're not gonna, like, they made it sound like we're coming in here to give him an environment to thrive, and then we're moving on to JJ. And it sounded like maybe part of that season was, like, into the season, like, feelings started to get involved a little bit, where Kevin O'Connell and Sam had maybe bonded and, like, it got a little, like, the feelings got meshed there. But I think they're kind of back on, like, we gave Sam Darnold an environment to thrive and now we're moving on.
Yeah.
So that's another option. But again, in my right mind, and I know the quarterback position is the most important position in professional sports. I know that caveat. But we're talking about Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter that you're potentially passing on to take Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. I couldn't stomach that as a GM.
Like you believe those guys are going to be Pro Bowl all pro.
Yes. Players. They're blue chip players. Yes.
Is what's the point in taking QB 18
in the NFL? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what is Shedeur Sanders' ceiling? Geno, Jared Goff.
Yeah, like I mean, that's the very highest, yeah.
Yeah. What's Cam Ward? I mean, Cam Ward's ceiling is a little bit higher because he's got the tools.
Cam Ward's ceiling is higher, but
it's, but his floor is also longer, like, the, yeah, is Deshaun Watson.
Zach Wilson.
That's my comp, actually, Zach Wilson. That's, yeah, his floor is Zach Wilson. That is phenomenal. They played, like, Zach Wilson's BYU tape is carbon copy to what he's doing.
Just a little less athletic. Because he's less athletic than Cam, but.
Yeah, for sure. I couldn't stomach that as a GM.
Just pay Jameis Winston. I mean, maybe not the Browns specifically, but somebody pay Jameis Winston. Give Justin Fields a shot.
I mean, there's like some ownership mandates make it a little more difficult. Like you can guarantee.
Sure.
The Giants, like John Mara, is putting a bullseye on those guys' back to find a quarterback or else. Cleveland? I don't think so. I think the ownership really likes the guys they have in charge. Tennessee, they're always up and down. Who knows what could happen there with Brian Callahan, but yeah. Jets, they're going to have a new coach and a new GM. There's no mandate there. So Raiders, same thing. New head coach, new GM.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. really, this is a Giants conversation then, if we don't think that there's any mandates from any other ownership other than the Giants, which kind of stinks for them. But yeah, I couldn't stomach that as a GM.
No.
All right. Next after draft. Well, let's move to the running back position.
Yeah.
So after draft here, Dalton, if a running back is not guaranteed to go in the top, let's say 64 picks, it's smarter for them to go back to school and absorb NIL money rather than declare for the NFL draft.
Draft. I'm drafting this. Okay, so we looked up the numbers. The signing bonus for the first pick in the third round is $1.3 million. Yes, that is more than...
There's no running back that made $1.3 million in NIL money.
No, it's more than what you're going to make in NIL money. Maybe if you're one of the top names, you're going to get about a million through NIL. Plus, you know, you have sponsorships and you do commercials and signings and all of that. You might be getting a million. The problem is you're also extending your earning window a year, likely. Because if you're a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick, even a third round pick, your career is probably going to be 3 years long, especially as a running back. Mm-hmm. You cannot count on a 10-year career. You cannot count on a second contract. And when we're looking at total value between third round and seventh round, you're looking at the difference between of total value somewhere between $5.5 million and $4 million. For a seventh rounder, 5.5 for a third, 4 for a seventh. So the difference is not that big in total value. It's that signing bonus that really makes this a legitimate question. The thing for me is with the lack of longevity at running back, the attention that you get on campus as a running back compared to as an NFL player, the value that you have for your football team is higher at the college level. And so when I'm looking at guys like Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, and they obviously have to split their stuff, but, you know, say even a Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, if they were able to go back, they're still all going to make some pretty decent money overall. So for me, I think that if you don't think you're going to be a top 64 pick, you know, even top 100, we'll say, if you're outside of the top 100, just go back to school and try to add a year of earning potential, because you don't know how long your career is going to last.
Yeah, I think I'm drafting this as well. My one concern would be, I am 100% drafting it because of the longevity issue. You add 300 more touches to your tires before you get to the NFL. Like, you need paid now. Like, running backs need paid now. You need paid now. I mean, we've even seen guys go... like who like we liked as running back prospects who go fourth, fifth round, get cut after the rookie season.
Yeah.
Isaiah Vanacanda, Trey Sermon, third round pick there. Like there are running backs who are drafted even in the top 125 that don't survive a second season in the NFL on their rookie deals, because it's pennies and dead money to cut anything out, any player outside of the top 75.
Yeah.
Pennies to cut them. Also, I was just looking this up, and this is a very weird side note that I'm going to throw out on this podcast. But did you know that Libby Dunn is the seventh highest evaluated athlete in college sports right now, NIL purposes?
I'm surprised she's not higher.
Yeah.
Libby just by name alone.
That's fair. Higher than DJ Lagway, Jeremiah Smith. It's crazy. Okay, back on track. But yeah, you got to get paid now. I think, we talked off air like from a year ago. Quinshon Judkins is probably the back to use. He was the highest touted running back in the portal last year. Mm-hmm. He's valued at $1.1 million. A signing bonus for a player at $1.1 million. Let me see here. He would have to be drafted
by the,
halfway through the third round.
Pick number 79.
Yeah. About halfway through the third round to match that signing bonus.
And I don't think he should go that high.
Yeah. So running backs need paid now. again, you could suffer an injury, but that could happen in your rookie season as well. And guess what? You're done. So like
the thing is like, even if the other thing with the injury is if, even if that takes you from a fourth rounder to a seventh rounder, you're losing $1 million in total value over the life of that contract. And you might make $1 million or close to $1 million in your last collegiate season. Mm-hmm. So,
and again, the market's only going up. Like, yeah. I mean, that was a year ago.
Yeah. And then we're going to start getting into revenue share too. Like that's going to start to get interesting.
Yeah. Really. And I had heard that a high profile running back this year, his agent, even in the season, was already shopping him for 1.5. So like let's just say a running back gets signed for 1.5 for 1 year. That's the 64th overall pick. That's a second round pick.
Yep.
Yeah. Running backs, go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to school.
What we're trying to say is Nick Singleton made the correct choice.
See, but Nick Singleton probably could have gotten drafted top 64, do you think?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Last draft or draft here. Let's do a little national championship purposes. We talked a lot of crap about Ryan Day. I talked a lot of crap about Ryan Day after the Michigan loss. And here they are in the national championship. I thought he was toast. I thought he was done. He's absolutely saved his job. He's coming back next year. They're not going to fire him for losing the national championship. But Ohio State has a $20 million roster. They convinced their entire senior class to come back to school to fight this out one last time together. There's a lot on the table. And we even said preseason, we said three teams, Texas, Ohio State, and Georgia were the only three teams that could win a national title. They're the only one standing out of those three teams. So this is it. So the draft to draft here is that the 2024 season should be deemed a failure for the $20 million Ohio State Buckeyes if they don't beat Notre Dame in the national championship.
Daft. And this one hurts because I think when you look at the stables between these two teams, this game shouldn't be that close.
I just worry Notre Dame can wear you down. Like, I'm just worried how
Notre Dame can wear you down. And the other thing is we just saw a very Ryan Day-ish coached Ohio State game. And if they do that again, are they going to be able to survive Notre Dame? And part of me says like, yes, because I just think Texas is even, they're better than Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. So like, I think losing this game would be a failure, but this is a team that we pretty much wrote off after the Michigan loss. And so I don't think when you look at the season in its totality, you can deem it a failure, even though they have the most expensive roster in college football. I think you can deem it somewhat of a failure because everyone came back. The problem is you have to beat 100 and what? Is it 23? How many Division I teams are there now?
130-something. There used to be 129, but then there's like James Madison and Jacksonville State and all those teams.
And we talk about this in the NFL all the time. Only one team can win it all. Your odds are very, very low, and they're probably a little bit higher in college football because of the lack of parity. But parity is coming strongly at the college level. We've already started to see it this year with the SEC taking a step back.
Yeah.
And so I do think because of the money, it would be unfortunate if they lost this game. But the turnaround after Michigan has been pretty epic. And so I don't think it would be a failure.
Your element of adding the parity to college football makes me think that I'm going to draft this. And I'm going to draft it because
everyone's going to start getting closer.
Everybody's going to start getting closer and they're graduating. Just let me count real fast. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Potentially Judkins, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 starters. that they're going to have to play guys behind them who are and the poor that Ohio State's going to recruit. Like that's where this conversation obviously goes is whether they're freshmen, they're five stars, whether they're transfer portals, like they're going to be high caliber portal. And so you could get some, but we're talking about, they completely sold out for 2024, completely sold out. If you don't win in 2024, like, can they go back and just run it? Like, can they sell out again this offseason? Their portal pools this offseason were nothing compared to last year so far. Yeah. I mean, the spring window is never as heavy as it is the winter window either. So, like, the portal pools weren't that impressive. Damon Wilson from Georgia just chose Missouri over them. That would have been their biggest pool. Mm-hmm. You're starting a true sophomore quarterback next year. And I know he's a five-star, but, like, recruit ranking only takes you so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. That guy, Texas, is still starting.
Well,
what's still starting?
Well, yeah. But that's, and again, their offensive line is young. And that, there's reason for hope there. All three of their interior offensive linemen are in our freshman, sophomore. So, but you're losing Donovan Jackson, Emeka Dubuka, Travion Henderson, Will Howard, Quinshon Judkins, Jack Sawyer, JTT, Tyleek Williams, Ty Hamilton, Cody Simon, Denzel Burke, Lathan Ransom, Jordan Hancock, like name after name after name. And so if you don't win it this year, and it's not just like, it's Indiana, perfect example of this. They were able to pull a team together out of the portal and puzzle piece it together. This is a team of continuity. Can Ohio State puzzle piece a team together? Because they didn't have to this year. Can they next year? So there's a lot more question marks outside of 2024 where it's like, if you don't win it, if you don't beat Notre Dame, man, like what was it for? What was it all for? What was it all for?
And we've seen a lot of teams.
You didn't win the Big Ten. What was it all for?
We've seen a lot of teams try to throw pieces together like dream teams, and they just not work out because you need
USC
that cohesion. Like in Indiana, Indiana got it right. And that does not happen very often.
Oregon's been doing it pretty well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my main concern. And again, but Oregon, they're pulling huge names out of the portal like Ohio State didn't.
Yeah, and look at Penn State. Almost everybody going back to school at Penn State, pulling in Ohio State.
This might be an emergency adapter draft here, if you're okay with it, because I was just talking to some other people about this.
Penn State's going to win the Big Ten next
year? No. Did you also see that freaking Wallace and Evans hit the portal, though?
Yes.
Is it concerning? Dapper draft. It's concerning from a quarterback perspective that a team that is struggling with talent at wide receiver has wide receivers actively fleeing.
Well, one of them was a starter.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, listen, man, opportunity isn't the issue at Penn State for these wide receivers. They would absolutely get reps. Unless Penn State told them to kick rocks and said hit the portal, which I can't imagine being the case given the state of their wide receiver room. Why are these guys leaving Penn State?
They couldn't get open at Penn State, so maybe they're going to go to Jacksonville State and try to get open. Like I don't know what to tell you. They weren't good.
No.
So like, is it an issue with the passing game? Is it an issue with the quarterback if they're not getting open? Because like, yes, I think we both kind of understand the quarterback is a little bit of an issue. But overall, man, the lack of separation is the issue in that
offense. Yeah, they're not very good. No. That's for sure.
No, and every time there was a play made down the field, it was guys running wide open, and it was schemed up. It was a busted coverage. It wasn't because these receivers are overly talented. And Penn State did go out and get two very productive wide receivers out of the portal already. So they could have told them to kick rocks. I don't know.
I mean, Wallace was their leading receiver last year, which is insane.
What, 475 yards?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So that was my thought. But yeah. Three dafter drafts right there. You dafted that Ohio State. This season would be a failure for Ohio State. I drafted it because, again, what is it all for? They don't come away with a win against Michigan, a Big Ten title or a national championship.
Yeah, well, that is
that's the other on your
they didn't get
gold
either.
Star, I guess. Hang the banner for almost winning the national championship if they don't win.
Yeah,
that's rough to look past. But I think that's it, man.
Yeah,
That's it.
That's it for me.
All right. Well, this next couple episodes, we're going to do a mailbag. We should tweet out those questions. We should tweet out the responses there. Get a mailbag. And then our 21 through 25 Big Four reveal this week as well. So stay tuned for some more content on the Daft on Draft podcast. Until next time, I'm Corey. That is Dalton. Goodbye.